The Fan on Demand. Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com. This is Got Game, a show by gamers for gamers, right here on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Each and every week, we bring you the latest in video game news, reviews, and interviews. NHL 12 is just about to hit store shelves. We'll break it down to find out whether it's going top cheddar. Ubisoft gives you the ability to drive in a sandbox that is Driver San Francisco. We'll also find out whether Resistance 3 from Insomniac Games is worth losing sleep over. It's about that time, and we are live.
Have you got game?
The Lowdown.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Zach Cooper. We've got Christine Chubb, Brian Calhoun, and Momin Qureshi. The order has switched a little because we're doing it live, and folks done changed their seats, so it's all good. So what we're doing on this show is we're going to be talking a whole whack of NHL 12, and I've been getting used to these long, extended reviews, and that's probably going to have to change next week. We'll see what happens, but we're going to be taking your calls, your emails, your tweets, any questions or comments you may have about NHL 12, which is in stores on Tuesday. We got tons of stuff, as you heard in the intro, some big news potentially about the 3DS. Nintendo has confirmed that. We'll get to that a little bit later on, but in the meantime, let's tell you how you can get in touch with us. So the easiest thing to get on air is call us, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and star 590 on your cell. You can hit us up on Twitter, at GotGame590, and that is that's pretty much the main hub, and then you can find our individual accounts from that point. And also via email, GotGame@fan590.com. With that being said, I do intend to answer as many questions as possible without requiring the calls or emails, because I've put a lot of time into NHL 12 and a lot of thought into my comments about it. So, are we ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. So, there were three main pillars of innovation that EA Sports was talking about with NHL 12, and that's a pretty good place to start with. And full contact physics engine is one of them. It's probably the easiest to notice. The hits, much more realistic, with the exception of the still too powerful hip check, but that's still a lot of fun. The small guys standing, little chance of bringing down a big unless you basically got a full head of steam. The small guys do have an advantage, though, and that's with jockeying for position in front of the net. You really get a feel for this being a little bit more true to life with that, because you've got guys like Chara or Hedman who will just nudge you out of the way, but if you're smaller, you can recover quickly and get to where you need to be and hopefully get a good screen going on or put yourself in position to get a nice deflection. So that's kind of cool. The one big thing I will say about the physics engine is that there are more collisions than there are hits, and that's a good thing. Oftentimes you'll go for a check, but because of various factors, speed, momentum, size, whatever, sometimes you'll find both players fall down, which is kind of cool. You also see two-on-one hits, and that's something we've never seen before. So it's definitely a nice positive step in the right direction. We've also never been closer to real knee-on-knees like we have with this. So partial contact can sometimes lead to spin-outs, and I haven't had a specific knee injury, but oftentimes you'll lay down that hip check and you'll catch guys at various parts of their body and you'll injure a lot of guys with that hip check. So that's kind of fun. If you get your franchise going, you want to be doing some of that. Dynamic goalies. This is truly bringing the goalies to life. There are no more canned animations in that you know exactly what kind of save or action a goalie will be making based on where they are. Everything feels live. There are also, some spectacular desperation saves that you'll get because of this, which is it's just another fantastic factor from all this. One of my concerns going into this game was that goalies can fight in NHL 12, and I was concerned that it was kind of like a gimmick and you'd see it happen all the times. I can happily say that I've played probably about 45 or so games now, and I haven't seen it once, which is good for me. I never saw that as a perk, really.
But is that just because it's not that realistic, or because it's hard to do?
I don't know how many goalie fights you see in a season, but I'm at the point where, having seen none, I think it's pretty much rivaling real life, and that's good. I have, however, knocked down plenty of goalies. After the Whistle especially, which is just plain fun. The way I've seen it is
that's something you do.
You can generally get about three decent hits before the ref will blow the whistle, at least on the default settings. And there was an achievement I got, or in my case, I'm playing on PS3, a trophy for knocking down the goalie and knocking his helmet off as well, which was kind of cool. So the first game you play when you boot up NHL 12, assuming you are getting it on Tuesday, and actually this is a pretty good time to mention the fact that we will have copies to give away. We're going to be giving away five on this program, and I've set aside five for the morning show to give away as well. So we'll get you info on that next week. But in the meantime, impressions and why you might want to go ahead and get NHL 12 or not. So you start up, you put the disc in, and you're going right into the Winter Classic, which is in the game due to contractual conveniences of it being on a football stadium, of course, being Heinz Field. So that's kind of cool, the Winter Classic, which isn't something that I have revisited since that first game. It's a nice little added mode, I guess. You've got the outdoor game, obviously, the perfect snowy conditions, which I don't think we've seen in a real Winter Classic just yet. That's there. And it's kind of cool. You see the crowd. I mean, the crowd is definitely much better this time around. They're a little bit more interactive, a lot more variance in what the people in the crowd are doing. There's not as much repetition. There is still some, but with the Winter Classic, you see them all bundled up. They got the toques, the scarves. It's kind of cool. So now the third pillar that EA Sports was talking about for innovation for NHL 12 was anticipation AI. Now, it's supposed to kind of take the idea of playing defense or playing offense, and throwing that out the window. It's supposed to be a little bit more smooth, and you'll have players, especially star players, anticipate a little bit more, hence the name. I didn't really notice it, but perhaps that's a good thing because it's one of those things where you're just glad you're not noticing it for the wrong reasons. In particular modes, you'll only be playing as one guy. And there you might notice it a little bit more, like the Be a Pro or Be a Legends. And I'll certainly get to the Legends in a quick moment. But otherwise, it's one of those things where if you're, switching between players and, you're generally not going to notice too many of the other guys because you're focused on what you're doing. I'm kind of glad, I guess, that I don't notice it, but I would have liked to have made it a little bit more of a noticeable thing from your teammates.
Yeah, that makes sense because just like you said, if it was going badly, you would notice. But it's so good that it's not affecting you because you can just focus on your game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so good that I'm not noticing it, but it's not a detriment. So let's get to the legends. This was obviously a big feature for NHL 12. There were 9 legends. If you aren't familiar, Gretzky, Lemieux, Howe, Waugh, Bork, Yzerman, Salming, Chelios, and Roenick. I love it. I love the idea, but I don't love the need to unlock them all. And it's a pretty arduous process. You basically need to play through a bunch of Be a Legend mode, which is basically just Be a Pro mode, but you're starting as a legend to unlock them in sequence. So you can't really just pick whatever you want and then go, which is kind of like how we had set it up in previous weeks when we thought that was the case. Which legend would you be? You don't get that choice. You're starting off as Roenick. And you got to work. You got to put in some work to even unlock Chelios. And this is kind of my beef with this, because as much as I love the fact that these guys are in the game, it's not like you can play as all of them. You know, even if it were to the point where, you unlock the next guy and then he's added to the team that you've already started with a Roenick, that's not the case. So, I think it was probably about 25 games or so that I finally unlocked Chelios, who is the second legend available in the list after Roenick. And then if I want to play as Chelios, I need to start a whole new career, basically brushing aside everything that I've done with Roenick to this point. And at this, you're chasing milestones. I'm trying to get, Gretzky's milestone of, I think it's 59 points in 30 games or something like that.
50 goals in 39 games.
There it is, 50 goals in 39 games. So I was close to that, but I wanted to experience what it was like with Chelios. And then I'm playing a bit of Chelios, and finally, I unlock the next guy and the next guy. And, I just unlocked Steve Yzerman. So, I want to try as Steve Yzerman now. But
so you got to go back.
Each and every time I'm starting from scratch. And that I think that's a bit of a pain. And, if they're going to do it like this, like I said, I kind of wish you could at least add them all to one team and make it kind of like your own Legends team.
And how far back are you going? Are you just going to the beginning of their NHL career, the beginning of their minor league career?
Yes. I mean, you're starting off, I think Roenick started off with an 88 rating or something. So they're not rookies that you need to build up. They're the Legends who they already are. And you're basically putting them on your favorite team and growing them from there. I'm looking at the clock. We don't have too much time. So that's kind of what you get from the legends. I think it's fantastic, but there's obviously, it's not perfect. And I don't know if they're kind of expecting you to not get NHL 13, but the timing of the unlockables kind of feels like they're okay with you not doing it. So they also have be a CHL pro for the first time, which is basically finishing a junior's career and then getting drafted. Hockey Ultimate Team is back. It's been expanded. I loved this mode in NHL 11, and I still do, except what kind of sucked for me was that I had started it up again. You get a new team. You get bonus pucks if you have an Ultimate Team from last year's game. It'll, help you get pucks toward the next pack. And for those who aren't familiar, Hockey Ultimate Team is basically building a team with a fantasy aspect with players from tons of different leagues. The idea is to get guys from the same teams or leagues, put them on the same line. Their chemistry will improve, and all while keeping your team under the salary cap. Guys have different contracts. You play a game that obviously takes away from their contract. There's a huge auction block aspect, which is back. You get currency by winning games on or offline with your team, be it single games or tournaments. They're all great. The one thing, though, And I kind of started to talk about this, is the fact that EA kind of reset their servers throughout the reviewing process. And so I had to start my team from scratch again, which was kind of annoying. But it's great. They've added, a lot more depth, more kinds of packs. But for whatever reason, and I can't quite remember if they had this in NHL 11 or not, but, they've got these pretty obscene loading times in this mode, within this mode, and basically in only this mode. And they don't have the prices of each particular pack. Packs are where you get new players. Obviously, the more expensive the pack, the more chances are you get rare cards or legend cards. Tons of different kinds of packs, but you have to go in to find out how much it is, and then you go out and it takes another 10 seconds, and it's kind of slow and a little bit annoying and painstaking. But it's all part of the process, which is a great mode that is Hockey Ultimate Team. I just would love for the loading times to be a little bit better from that regard. New in this year's game, the ability to play your friend in Hockey Ultimate Team, but you do not get pucks, nor do games played count against your player's contract. So that's kind of cool. There are tons of little tweaks here and there to every mode, basically. But the one thing you need to know is that the core gameplay has been refined so well. The physics, the goalies being, of course, the key points. Also, a nice little touch is the new in-game menu after each period, where instead of seeing stats by default, you have the ability to watch highlights of goals in a little mini screen. So if someone accuses you of, scoring the same goal every time,
who would do that?
You can now show them that's not the case.
Who would make that kind of an accusation? Accurate accusation. Very accurate.
I don't know, but I recall playing you just the other day, and having the ability to replay 8 very different goals in the same game.
Which I scored on. No, I can't even lie. yeah, we got to play at your house the other day, and it was pretty fun. I mean,
for me,
I'm not a sore loser. It's okay. I can take it. I'm a big boy. But I mean, this game, we played it a few times now at a few different events. It's awesome, as NHL always is. I mean, there's very little complaints. The Legends thing was annoying. If I had to play and start all over, and I've always had a big beef with games that lock up so much stuff that they make you earn it. I think they should let you have at least a big chunk of it just as you start, but whatever. This game's a home run, as usual.
Yeah, I love the tweaks. I think it's fantastic. It's tough because, with every sports game, you kind of need to review it in its own right. And in its own right, NHL 12 is fantastic. I give it a 9 out of 10. There are enough tweaks for any hardcore fan of NHL 11 to go out and feel they must get it. Good news for you. We've got copies to give away. We'll have details on how you can win next week. On the other side, we've got reviews of Driver San Francisco. And we also have Resistance 3. We got a packed show, lots of news that we want to get to as well. You have a little bit more time to get your tweets, calls, emails on any questions you have for NHL 12 in. We got to run. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
We got game. Do you?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Zach Cooper. We got Momin Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb. And we do have some tweets coming through about the NHL 12 review, some of which I've replied to directly. And one which I kind of want to address from Cole B. Zeldin on Twitter. Our Twitter, by the way, is at GodGame590. So he writes, if the hits are realistic in NHL 12, does that mean Crosby will be easily concussed? Now, I don't know if that's just a snide remark, but I do want to address the fact dealing with the real physics engine.
the physics, the full contact physics engine, I should say. With Crosby in particular, he's a guy who is very strong in the lower body, and he's got great balance. So one thing you will notice when you're playing as the Penguins, or a Legends team where a second line has Crosby, for instance, what you would notice is that when guys try to hit you, they're definitely having a much tougher time to successfully take you off the puck. So sometimes they'll slide off you. Sometimes you'll just get nudged and you'll find your way back to the puck. But you will notice that that difference in the size of a player and the strength of the player. And there are just a lot more stats or ratings that contribute to basically every single little play on the ice, which is just another another solid hit for NHL 12. So hopefully you caught the review. If you missed it, you can check it out on the podcast. It is available on fan590.com on the Got Game blog. After the weekend is usually when it goes up, and you can find it immediately on iTunes, or as close to immediately as possible. We got a bunch of other games we want to get to as well. If you have some more questions, comments, you can definitely hit us up. You know how. Otherwise, let's get to Driver San Francisco from Ubisoft. It's been in stores since Tuesday, and it's a sandbox, and you're in a car, and it's the latest in the series. Calhoun, you spent some time with this. What'd you think?
I don't know what to take away from your sneering smile that you're giving right now. This is a little awkward sitting here across from you. Just it's the way you look.
All right, well, you can do it from elsewhere if you'd like.
Okay, I'll go down the hall. I just don't know what you're implying with that giant smile you're giving me, but... Driver San Francisco, it's the latest in the series. Obviously, you're playing, once again, John Tanner, the former race car driver turned San Francisco police officer. And when the game opens, it's kind of a special day for John. He spent most of Driver 3 trying to put away his arch enemy, Jericho, and it was really a hard time in his life. He just wants to close the book on the whole situation. So you start off Driver San Francisco with Jericho's had his day in court. You know, he's been found guilty. They're going to take him from the county courthouse to, you know, this massive, you know, triple max prison where he's going to rot for the rest of his life. John just wants to see the whole thing done. He just wants to see Jericho in jail, but it's a video game, so that doesn't happen. Instead, Jericho escapes jail. John Tanner's in the area. He tries to re-arrest Jericho, but that doesn't work out for him. Actually, he gets hurt really badly, and he's put in a coma. And the coma is actually something that they've been talking about. Ubisoft's been talking about that a lot, and I just saw Christine just give me this weird smile when I said coma.
You're driving in a coma, why not?
But yeah, and see, that's the reaction a lot of people...
I'm pretty sure that's discouraged.
It is actually. You probably should not drive in a coma, and also you should have a Bluetooth headset for your phone calls. But it's something that a lot of people have snickered at. It's not really, it's a mechanic that a lot of people looked at and said, that's crazy. But it's just a pretense for a really awesome sort of mechanic that they're calling Shift. Now, what Shift does is it lets you go from one car to another, like snap of a finger. For example, I was driving down a highway in a Crown Vic police car, and I saw a DeLorean going the other way. I'm like, I wonder if I can get that thing up to 88 miles an hour.
They have DeLoreans in there?
Yes, they do.
That was me going the other way.
Yes, it was no one going the other way. I wanted to take over this car, see if I can get up to 88 miles an hour. All I had to do was hit the A button. The shift mode takes over, and what happens is that you sort of become this disembodied ghost, and you float up over the highway. And I know Zach can try not to smile, but yeah, this is just a really weird thing. So you're floating over the highway. This is disembodied ghost body, and you can just select whatever car you want, driving along the road. You hit the A button again. You get into a new vehicle, and you keep driving. It took maybe a second, 2 seconds tops. And that's what's really awesome about Shift. It just allows you to keep the action going so quickly. You never have to stop driving. You know, it just keep going. It also allows you to do a lot of really unique things. Like, I don't want to give away all the really unique things that happen in this game, because there's a lot of really awesome moments, but For one mission, I was driving two cars at once. I was sitting behind the wheel of a Hummer, looking over the hood of the car at this car in front of me, and I was driving that car too.
I'm curious how that works.
I don't really want to ruin it for you, but it involves a shift system.
Does it feel organic, though, like all these crazy things? Does it actually flow with the game?
Yes, you got to give yourself over the game. You got to realize that this isn't real. And the game tells you that this isn't real at the very beginning. It says that this is
I don't know. It sounds pretty realistic so far.
They tell you it's all happening in the guy's head. It's all spilled out to you.
That way, so at the ending, when he just wakes up, it's not a big disappointment.
Did they talk about how much drugs the main character consumes at the beginning of the game?
Well, if you're listening, you would have heard that he got into an accident. So this is all legally. This is a legal coma.
All the legal drugs.
Yes.
Legal coma driving. Yeah.
I'm sure he did get some legal drugs as a result of his coma, which he was put into.
How is the actual driving?
The driving is fantastic. It's not realistic. And I believe that's something I think you're trying to get to, Christine. But the drive is not realistic at all. But you don't care because the driving is so fun. I mean, I'm sitting there just holding gas down, turning left. And the back of my car is swinging out. I'm doing amazing drifts. I'm jumping all over San Francisco. I'm jumping over other vehicles. It's not realistic at all, but it's just so much fun. And as you can tell, I'm really liking this game. You know, it's just a lot of fun to get into. It's hard to find issues with Driver San Francisco. Unfortunately, it's not possible. If you look really, really close, you can see some big issues. Actually, probably the most important one to our listeners is the DRM issues that they're having that last week, where Ubisoft tried to lock some of this game behind some DRM codes that they were giving out inside the game. Basically, if you bought the game new, you get a code, you put it in, you unlock the entire game. If you don't, parts of the game are locked behind these walls that you can't access. Unfortunately, the codes that they gave out did not work. They were broken. I'm not totally sure exactly what happened, but you just could not unlock these modes.
But it's been addressed now.
Yes, I was about to say, to Ubisoft's credit, what they did was they just went and unlocked everything. So once you get the game, put the game in your system, they'll ask you, you want to insert the code? Do you want to buy a code? Or you want to try a free trial? I want to buy a code. Just select that option. They'll take you to the marketplace. And there it just says, oh, all this stuff is free. So you just download it there. So they fixed that issue.
Good.
Yeah, no, good on them. And it really wasn't a huge issue because it was fixed pretty soon after the game was released. But just so you know, if you get this game.
Multiplayer. Let's hear about multiplayer because we got a couple callers waiting on the line and only a few minutes left in the segment.
Well, I really just have to give the fact that the story was my other bigger problem with this game. It's kind of broken up into a lot of areas because it's an open world game. You're able to drive from one area to the next and start the mission that way. So it's sometimes hard to follow the story as you go, but whatever. And the main character, I didn't really like him. He says a lot of really bad things like, I have my dial goes up to 11 and it's only turned to 2 right now. Stuff like that, really cheesy things. So it's hard to like him, but you mentioned multiplayer, which is...
Was it intentionally cheesy though? Because if it's fitting within the whole realm of the game, then it's kind of excusable.
They're going for that whole... It's supposed to feel like a cop television show, I think, is kind of... really supposed to feel like Starsky and Hutch, so I guess you could say it does. I didn't like it still, but maybe you're right. It does go with the whole thing. Okay. But there's a lot to love about this game. Like you mentioned, multiplayer modes. There's follow the leader, tag, cops and robbers. There's sort of a car soccer mode they call Blitz, where you have to drive cars into this goal, and the other side has to stop you with their cars. And there's tons of racing. There are a lot of multiplayer modes to keep this game fresh, which is awesome because there's also a lot of side missions, which feel repetitive. So, you know, you toss that multiplayer in there, it helps the game a little bit more. It takes away from the repetitiveness of those side missions. So those side missions are still fun. It's just after doing about 25 of them, I didn't really want to do the other 125, if you can do that. Also, just one last thing before we move on. There's about 7 hours of content in this game as far as story missions go. There's countless side missions, but there's 7 hours of story mission in the game. The first 6 hours or so, it's not bad. It's not great. It's kind of there. The last hour, probably some of the best gaming I've experienced this year. There are moments that happen in this game that will stay with me for the rest of my life. You have to, you have to get through the first 6 hours, which, like I said, is not bad. It's just there. But if you get to the end, you'll have a really great time during that last hour. I'm going to give this game an 8.5 out of 10. It has some small issues. Some of them you may not really mind because it could just be a personality thing with me. But overall, driving is not realistic, but it's awesome. And you can do a lot of it, and you can do a lot of it really quick.
All right, that's Driver San Francisco, an 8.5 out of 10 from Calhoun. A very memorable 8.5 out of 10 as well. I gave NHL 12 a 9 out of 10 earlier on. We're going to get to Resistance 3 in a moment. But first, Casey from Ottawa has been waiting online for quite some time. So, Casey, you're on God Game on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
I went down this afternoon and put my purchase down on NHL 12. Looking forward to it coming out, going to the special opening Monday night at midnight. And, pretty stoked about it. Pretty excited to check out I think the most exciting feature I'm looking forward to is the Winter Classic option. It'll be pretty neat to be able to play outside. And just wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
Okay, I thought it was cool, and you'll be happy to hear, Casey, if you missed the start of the show, the first thing you do when you get that game in there is you're playing the Winter Classic, and, you know, you got your Penguins, and you got your Capitals, and it's It's a lot of fun, but, you know, it's not something that I really went back to. It looks cool. They've added some nice presentation elements to it, and you truly feel like you are actually playing hockey outdoors. But to me, it's nice, but it's not imperative.
I think it's a fun mode to have because that's really the only thing that was missing from NHL 11 was the Winter Classic mode, because they've had Winter Classic now for about 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah, but they haven't been able to do it because of licensing, and now because it's in a football field, they got Madden, and you know, the stadium's basically there to go. They just pop it over from Madden.
But Zach, if I can pose a question to you, did you not go back simply because there's so many other things in the game that were really enticing?
Well, I mean, with NHL, I think the majority of people will either be doing a franchise or they'll be doing a be a pro, or in this case, be a legend. You know, I was spending all my time basically on be a legend, trying to unlock the next legend if I wasn't playing Hockey Ultimate Team.
If that mode was not there, would you find yourself playing?
Yeah, but they are there. Yeah. So, yeah. You know.
I'm just posing questions. This is how good it is.
The Winter Classic mode is basically just playing a regular game outside. It's not really that different. So,
and it's not going to change the way you feel about the game too much. It's a nice added feature, and it's cool that it's there, but... You know,
it's just there.
Yeah, and it looks great.
It's just there. But it is kind of cool. Anyways, we will get to Resistance 3 in a matter of moments. I know Moman has spent quite some time with this, and he's definitely looking forward to sharing his thoughts. And we've also got some big news regarding the Nintendo 3DS. Those who already have it will definitely want to hear about this. Those who don't, I'm curious what it'll do to their perception of the portable console from Nintendo. We'll break it all down. Tons of other news about Madden and how well it's doing in stores. It's just a matter of how much time and how much we can cram in it. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
This is Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Have you got game?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Zach Cooper, alongside, as always, Moman Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb. This is the final segment of our live edition of Got Game. So you do have a few more minutes to try and get your thoughts in or questions in regarding NHL 12. We've got a few more tweets that we want to get to. The Twitter address is GodGame590. So Cole B. Zeldin, who already got a tweet from earlier, writes again, as we were referencing the realism in NHL 12, it actually ended up being a hashtag of his being realistic. He asks, will the Leafs win more games in NHL 12 after they've been eliminated from contention? I just want to put that out there. Obviously,
rhetorical. If it is realistic, then that will happen.
Another question, which I didn't mention in my review, and it's something that gets asked a fair amount, is from I Stay Home Alone, which really, as a Twitter name, does not help the stereotype. But he writes in, does NHL 12 have the Winnipeg Jets jerseys? So the answer to that is, as of now, they don't. They're just kind of generic home and away black and white jerseys. But the assumption, and this is what we got from one of the producers from X11, the Microsoft event a few weeks back, was that in all likeliness, they will have it available by the first patch. We've obviously seen the jerseys now, so we know it is on the way. It's just a matter of how soon after the game gets released on Tuesday that patch will come.
We should mention the logos are in it, though.
The logos are in it.
The logos are there, but the jerseys themselves are not.
Exactly. So that answers that question. Again, if you want to get another question or comment in about NHL 12 or anything else that we've been talking about so far, you can hit us up on Twitter. The email address is gotgame@fan590.com. With that being said, we must move on. And the third review on this show is Resistance 3. It is a PS3 exclusive from Insomniac Games, and they've been touting this for a while. Originally, it was going to be bundled with that 3D TV that they're putting out. That is not the case because the title is too mature. The question is the content also enjoyable? Moment, you had this puppy. Let's find out.
It's definitely mature, I'll say that much. Yeah, there's no way kids should be playing this game. Hyping it up for a good reason, because this game, I'll tell you, is a lot of fun to play, and I'm not usually terrible at first-person shooters.
You're usually terrible at first-person.
You're pretty bad.
But I was actually pretty good at this game. I actually had a lot of fun. I got really into it. Just to give you a bit of backstory real quick. It's about John Capelli back in the 1950s in Oklahoma fighting against, once again, the Chimera, however you want to pronounce
it. Chimera, yes.
Chimera. Yes. Jason Chimera gets stuck in my head, and then that's just how I say it. I assume they're named after him. It does feel like you're in a movie. The plot line is very dramatic, and it's a really engaging storyline, which is what really helped me get into this game. And the opening montage, so something I want to pull out, is John goes and kills Henry in like the opening montage. And I don't think I'm really giving away too much there, but the weird part about it is that happens, and then they kind of like vilify him in the beginning, and then they never mention it again. And I was like, why did you put that in the opening montage with all this dramatic music and then never talk about it again? So I just thought that was kind of weird. One of the weird things is that your character only talks in cutscenes, so he never talks during actual gameplay. So he's talked to, has orders barked at him, all this kind of stuff. Characters are having full dialogue. His wife is talking to him. He doesn't say a word. He doesn't say a word until...
Why would he, though?
Why would he, though?
Silence is golden.
Yeah, that's right. He's just a dude with a lot of guns.
So he lets his guns do the talking.
And I hope you're going to talk about the guns as well, because they're a pretty big deal.
Talk about that right now.
One of the
best feature of this game is that there are a ton of weapons, and really fun ones, too, whether it's a Deadeye sniper rifle or, he's got a really wicked handgun. And the cool thing about it is the guns that he has is each of the guns has... I think almost all of them have two different modes that you can use them as. So like just the straight shoot, or like the handgun, you can shoot it with R2 and it shoots into the person's chest and then you can detonate it. So like it launches like bullets in his chest and you can detonate it. It's got ones that shoot like electronic sparks out, and then it kills all the Chimera. And so he's got like a huge
Chimera.
Damn you, Jason Chimera. And it's a huge variety of guns. And I found that that is what kept the game interesting. Cause I find a lot of times with first person shooters, it can get really repetitive and really boring after a while. But the variety of guns and the amount of things that you can do with guns, and that these guns level up as you go along, kept it really interesting, really exciting throughout the game. And it takes you some time to realize which guns you should use in which situations. And, they have a lot of things like, some of the guns give you force fields. They can see through walls. Some of them can blast straight through them. There's handguns and sniper rifles and all these other things. And the guns are really a big part of it. And that's partly what made the actual story mode for me better than the actual multiplayer. Now, I know, obviously, once you're done the story mode, multiplayer is what makes it worth the bang for your buck, because that gives it playability, replayability for a lot of time to come. But the story mode in this game is just, it's fantastic. Basically, you start on Oklahoma. You're in this underground city. Obviously, you're forced indoors and underground. And the Chimera, make their way through the city, and they force you out. And so the lead character, Joseph, has to go and find this guy who's kind of lost, and you go and you battle the Chimera. And then eventually what happens is, I don't want to give away too much, but you meet a doctor, and you have to go to New York City because somebody in the game is very ill, and it's the only way you can stop the Chimera from taking over. So you've got to make your way to New York City. And it adds a lot of really cool elements to the game. The gameplay is terrific. It's a game that could be kind of dark and dreary, but it's not. It's actually quite colorful, quite lively. There are a lot of scary moments where you're going through like warehouses and you see like all these larvae that are pulsating and ready to hatch, and it's dark and there's dripping water and stuff. And so that part of it is excellent. And there's just so much engaging about this game, and I don't want to take up too much time, but I will say that this game really had me compelled. I'm not usually into first-person shooters, but I was really into this game. The storyline was really good. There are obviously a few multiplayer modes, including Capture the Flag and Team Deathmatch. And it's cool because you can play 8-on-8, which is awesome. 8 humans versus 8 Chimera. And it's really fun. And anytime you can get 16 people into a FPS room, obviously it's a lot of fun. Multiplayer modes are good, but nothing that really kind of blows you away. It's just your standard multiplayer modes. But obviously that's what's going to carry the game forward once you're done storyline. We did receive a number of tweets, or not a number, but a few tweets, people saying they were very disappointed with the ending. So take that for what it's worth. But by all accounts, by the people I've been talking to, including myself,
I don't doubt that at all. This is
an excellent game. I was really happy. Like, there's a mode where you're on a boat and you're traveling through waters, and all these Chimera are jumping on your ship, and you're fighting them off, and they're jumping in your face, and they're coming out of nowhere. And it's very action-packed. I definitely love this game. I would highly recommend it, and I give it a solid 8.5 out of 10.
All right, an 8.5 out of 10 for Resistance 3. The one thing I want to ask you, because a lot of people were questioning in Resistance 2, is the pacing and the tempo of the game. Did you find there was enough variety in the campaign to keep you interested through and through?
Yeah, definitely. And what's interesting, too, is that some of it's pretty hard. I mean, there was some levels that took me quite some time to get through, and I had to keep restarting over. That's a bit of an issue I had, that some of the cutscenes you had to keep going through over and over. So if you restarted at a certain point, you'd have to watch the same cutscene over and over and over before you got back to the part where you wanted to fight. But it was definitely entertaining to me.
All right, so some quick tweets. First from Jeff McAllister, the Judah. He goes, whoa, did Moman 680 News say he was good at first-person shooter games?
It's true. Miracles can happen.
To which I replied, yeah, he's a big, dirty liar. Mark, JTF33, is apparently listening while playing Resistance 3. He says playing Resistance 3 right now. great game. So thumbs up. Justin J.P. Purcell writes in asking about NHL 12. He says, how much is the game and is it on the Wii platform? Generally, it's going to run you your $60 to $70 standard fare with that. It is available on the PS3, on the 360, on the Wii, and on the 3DS, as well as a PC, I believe, as of Tuesday. But remember, we do have giveaways. We'll talk about that next week. That is when you will have your chance as well. Listen up for the morning show because they'll have the bonus code as well. I have secured 5 copies for each, so there is plenty to give away, and it should be a lot of fun. So make sure you tune in next week. We're not quite done just yet. And we do have some news that we kind of alluded to a little while ago. Regarding the 3DS and the fact, I mean, we've talked about the fact that the Nintendo 3DS has struggled. The portable platform from Nintendo was released in March, and then we just saw a $50 price cut,
Struggled mightily.
Yes. Yeah. So now there's a new iteration on the way, sort of. It's like an add-on, and Nintendo has since confirmed the rumors, which were going wild at the start of the week. And it all started as an ad in a Japanese magazine called, Famitsu. And basically, a lot of people were questioning whether this was legitimate. Nintendo has come out and said, yes, this is real, but we're not telling you too much as of now. So basically what the add-on is, it gives you a second circle pad or thumbstick, depending on your vernacular. So as you'd see in the picture, kind of snaps onto the sides of your 3DS and gives you the ability to play first-person shooters or first-person games like the upcoming Monster Hunter 3DS, which is expected to be bundled with. Nintendo hasn't provided any details other than saying the pictures are legitimate. And by the way, according to the NPD group, 3DS sales are actually up 260% since the price drop. And they're pretty modest numbers from the get-go. It's just comparing the two-week period from launch to the two-week period after the price cut.
Now, maybe, Moman, you can answer this question for me. Where exactly do you think that a device like this could snap into on the side of a 3DS?
Well, the thumbstick that they have right now is on the left side of the 3DS, so I imagine it would be going
on the right side of the 3DS.
But the question I have is, where exactly? Because I can't remember there being a port or anything on that side. I'm wondering if you have to buy a new 3DS.
No, you will not have to buy a new 3DS.
No, I don't remember exactly where, but I believe there are some ports on the sides of both sides.
Yeah,
and
on the back. A full-around snap-on.
Yep.
You know, I mean, remember the old Game Boys and all the additions you can get to that, from the screen with the light to the turbo buttons. I mean, it got ridiculous.
I remember the game light. The game light was cool. Made it even greener.
And that's what you need, more green.
This story, I mean, Nintendo's obviously in a lot of trouble with this 3DS, and they're trying everything they can, but it seems a bit like they're clutching at straws right now, just trying to do whatever they can to get people to buy into this 3DS because it's dying a very, very painful death.
Well, the games are starting to come out at some point. Star Fox 3DS.
I like mine. I use mine, but...
Quickly, we do need to run, but Madden scores struggle. As you heard my rant last week, it was pretty long-winded. I think I ended up giving it a 7.5. The sales have not struggled, though. For the first time in years, a Madden game received universally mediocre scores, but it also, was dealing with a potential strike. Apparently, nothing slowed it down at all because 1.4 million copies of Madden 12 were sold the first week that the game was released. EA Sports says that's a 10% increase over Madden 11. That game brought a whole lot of innovations this year. Not so much, just a much more fluid physics engine, and it plays well. It sounds horrible. Anyways, thanks for all the input. We appreciate the tweets, the calls, the emails, everything of the sort. We could not get to all of them, but I think we got to the ones that needed to be answered the most. As always, we appreciate all feedback, comments. GodGame@Fan590 is the email address. The Twitter is @GodGame590. Next week, we will be giving away copies of NHL 12. We'll talk about Dead Island, and of course, we'll have our preview of Gears of War 3, which comes out on the 20th. It is going to be a lot of fun. It's getting wild in the world of gaming. For Christine Chubb, for Brian Calhoun, for Moman Qureshi, I am Zach Cooper, and this has been a live edition of God Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.